Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to Stagecraft, Variety's theater podcast, bringing you backstage and behind the scenes with Broadway stars, creators, industry leaders, and Tony nominees. I'm Gordon Cox. On this episode of Stagecraft, I'm talking to the actor Jesse Williams. He's currently nominated for a Tony Award for his Broadway debut in Take Me Out, Richard Greenberg's 2002 play about a baseball player at the height of his career who comes out as a gay man. Take Me Out is one of Williams' first major roles following his 12-season run on Grey's Anatomy, playing Dr. Jackson Avery. And he was in rehearsals for the play back in March 2020, when the pandemic shut down Broadway. But he stuck with the show, along with his castmates and fellow Tony nominees Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Michael Oberholzer. And now he's wrapping up his run in Take Me Out with the Tony Awards ceremony as the finish line on June 12th. Williams is in the virtual studio with me to tell us about Tony Awards hoopla, explain how theater is like baseball, and reveal whether he ever wants to come back and do this Broadway thing again. Hey, Jesse. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. It's been a long journey for you with Take Me Out. It's stretching all the way back to before the pandemic, and now you're coming up on what will be the end of your run pretty soon. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling pretty great. I'm feeling pretty strong. It is a new feeling, even in just recent days, maybe the last week, of feeling like I can see the end. It's always been this mountain. Like you said, it's been a lot of buildup, and it's so difficult and demanding that it has really been this mountain looming large in front of me with the peak not in sight. And now kind of feeling like we're rounding a corner and we can kind of see some daylight on the end. It feels like it's all happened fast. But trying to stay, you know, the thing about theaters, you got to stay present. Because you got two shows to do, or one show every day. So it feels great. I'm really, really happy and feeling fulfilled and excited that more and more folks are coming to see the play and enjoying it and being able to have pretty robust conversations as a result.
Yeah. What do you know now that you wish you'd known going into it?
You know, I don't know. I feel like I really kind of saw every potential outcome on this, because as you said, we did start this 2 years ago before COVID. And while I didn't look at the material during those 2 years, because it was frankly a little bit painful to do that, because I really wanted to do it and wasn't sure that we'd ever get a chance to, in that time, you know, I think I really did kind of prepare myself for every potential scenario psychologically. So sadly, I don't really know. I don't really have a quippy answer for that.
Yeah. But it sounds like you were prepared for the fact that it would be, as you said, demanding and challenging. What skills do you feel like you have honed over the course of this run?
Well, a lot of new ones, because I've never done theater before, really, never done a play. And so the level of emotional, psychological endurance on top of the physicality, on top of the voice rest and taking care of your throat and your voice, those are all entirely new muscles that I haven't had to work like this before. And actually, I've got an answer to your previous question. The one thing I wish I had known was the emotional kind of devastation that my character goes through is going to be more taxing than I anticipated. And I wish that I had kind of established for myself a meditation practice, a grounding practice, a way to get it off my head and heart and body after every show, because there was a difficult period. Because the character goes through so much and your body doesn't really know the difference. And it definitely, I had a bit of a dip where it was really weighing on me and difficult to push, separate, especially on two show days and just arduous weeks. So that, and that's something that you kind of have to live through to prepare for. But I think I wish I did kind of lay out some of the architecture for healing in the process day to day, for the journey that Darren was on ahead of time. And I think I'm figuring it out now, but yeah. But that did kind of kick me in the ass.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if you did come up with a practice then, as you.
Yeah, I have. I'm always honing it and sometimes neglecting it, but it's there. And even just the awareness of it after feeling it for this long, it makes it just less surprising, easier to identify what it's not. Easier to set aside time for myself. I've got a lot of different jobs and responsibilities and interests, and I came out here early from California back home to New York and did my best to delegate as many responsibilities elsewhere as possible so I could be wholly present and focused on this and not be trying to squeeze in meetings and board meetings and all the other things I have going on. I think I did a fairly decent job of that. I've got terrific folks that can help me with that. But yeah, carving out the time to be disciplined about just, you know, not socializing. I haven't socialized this entire time. I don't go out. I don't do anything. I can't meet you for a coffee. I can't meet you for a tea. I can't grab lunch. I'm focused on building this up or resting and taking care of myself in between. So that's been a really interesting 6 months, going into 6 months now of that. And I think that will be informative going forward in terms of my future work balance.
Yeah. What has struck you about Broadway as an industry and as a community?
Well, what has struck me about the Broadway community is the incredible generosity and welcoming demeanor. I mean, the folks I have found myself, I'm just so grateful. I came in intimidated. I came in with the utmost respect for this lofty, this community that lives on a higher tier. That you know, these are craftspeople that work their behinds off. And, you know, to be here, it's not glitzy and glamorous. It doesn't overpay. It doesn't over coddle you. And, you know, everybody here, I have such a tremendous amount of respect for, and to be, you know, I who knows how it could have gone. I mean, a guy who's had a short career on TV and film, who was a freaking public high school teacher 12 years ago, or whatever it was, has no business here, and I didn't know if I was going to be hazed, if I was going to be iced out, if I was going to be any good. I have just found support and encouragement and patience and tutelage at every turn, and I've really it's been better than I could have possibly imagined in terms of that level of engagement and kindness that I'm experiencing. So this is to a whole new community to me. It's not like I had experiences before and these have changed. This is a new world, a new university that now I'm an early alumnist of in short order. So it's been pretty damn terrific.
Yeah, a lot of the work on Broadway this season has really emphasized ensemble work among sort of a group of actors kind of performing seamlessly as a whole. And I feel like your show is one of them. And I just wondered what's that experience been like for you, sort of working with an ensemble of actors kind of night after night? And does it overlap at all with the experience of working with an ensemble of a TV series?
Well, yeah, everything about working with this ensemble has been tremendous. I mean, getting to know some of the guys. 2 years ago, we had 2 weeks of rehearsal right before COVID hit, so got to see them in person. Got to spend a little bit of time in the rehearsal space, just put names with faces, get a sense of humor and process, and so much has changed, and a lot of us have grown in the last 2 years, and got some new fathers and new families and new situations going on. But this group, this doesn't work without a really cohesive unit. I've been really, you know what it stands out to me is, and I don't know if it'd be easy to say, maybe it's because the theater world is an easy distinction between the theater world and Hollywood, but in this group, there's just no egos. There's no pre-packaged kind of set of habits or mannerisms that you got to deal with because so-and-so is used to this or that. Everybody is really humble, really kind, really generous, on top of their tremendous talent. And I, frankly, even though I'm the lead in the play, I'm the eager kid tapping shoulders, asking questions throughout, because everybody around me has much more experience. So my point only to that is that this ensemble, I'm testing their patience, and we're not just hanging out, but I've got a lot to ask and to learn. Working with this ensemble is terrific. I think I'm in six of the first seven scenes of the play, and it's this carousel of me working with almost every actor in the play, round and round and round. So I really get to open the show every night, touching, having a really awesome interaction with everybody. And I learn a tremendous amount each and every scene. I mean, to be this deep into the run and still be making discoveries on stage, is a thrill.
What was the best advice you got about being on Broadway, and who'd it come from?
Definitely, I've gotten a lot of words of wisdom from our incredible director, Scott Ellis. Something really simple. He just said it in passing. Brandon Durden, who plays Davy Battle in the play and is a tremendous person, an actor, who also was in Skeleton Crew right before starting our show. He just, just so busy and so talented and multidimensional. He shared something that I believe Noah Emmerich told him when we were in conversation. It's something really simple about the difference between stage and screen. He just said, on stage, you're doing the master and the close-up at the same time, the whole time. And that, using that language was a little bit of a, it's fairly simple, but a little bit of a light bulb moment. It makes me think about the physicality and license to be, I've only done TV and film, and in that, the camera catches everything. So you don't have to be overly expressive. You don't have to show. I don't think. And to be on stage now, to fill the house, to get to the back row, I've been trying in the early stages of rehearsal, certainly, to try to feel that out. How much bigger should I be? You're having on stage, we don't have mics. You're sitting and having intimate conversation one-on-one with somebody on stage, but we have to be yelling at each other's faces so the whole theater can experience it with us. How do I do that with nuance? How do I, it's kind of like if it's a light bulb, if you blast a painting with hot light, you wash out all the texture. It just becomes flat. So how do I communicate in an intimate conversation on stage without blasting out all the nuance, all the texture, all the form, all the detail, all the subtlety? So that simple kind of throwaway from Brandon just gave me a sense of form, both physically and vocally, just to be aware of. I think of... a lot of it was really just about breathing. So there's technical advice that I've gotten from Jesse Taylor Ferguson or from Scott, about breathing from your diaphragm and not grating your voice and ripping it to shreds, which I almost did early on. I think something that Scott let me know early on was that you're never going to be 100%. You're never going to feel like you mastered every nook and cranny of every scene in the piece, but you're 70%. The audience doesn't know. They didn't see the other show. They didn't see yesterday. They didn't see last week when you felt like you crushed it. They're experiencing it for the one and only, you have to assume, the only time. And, your 70% is enough. And that's not about effort. That's about kind of how you modulate your own outcome. And we actors cannot be trusted to be able to tell if they had a good show or not, I have learned. you know, throughout the process. You think you tanked it and people loved it. You think you were perfect. You think you were Meryl Streep up there and you weren't. So I've learned to stop trying to guess and to let it go. I room with Patrick Adams. We share a dressing room. He plays Kippy in the play. And he's been a really wonderful sounding board for me, somebody to measure my fears and concerns with. And I remember, early on him just being able to give me perspective and calm me down when I would carry scenes, I would carry mistakes with me. I fumble something in this third scene and that insecurity about it would create a kind of bit of a tumble, a rolling stone into the next several scenes. And I felt like I was kind of clunking through the next several scenes because I was kicking myself. And he just really helped me just dust that off, start fresh, forget it, it's over. That scene is done, start fresh. So a lot of the simple stuff for me, because it's theater 101, it's my first class. So some of the things that that folks with more experience know like the back of their hand, I'm experiencing them all now in real time.
I'll have more with Jesse right after the break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
And now, here's more with the actor Jesse Williams. Backing up a little bit, you're coming to the end of, you know, a long and successful run on Grey's Anatomy and you want to do something else. Why was stage the thing? What was it about that challenge that really appealed to you?
Stage was the thing because it was in many ways the opposite of what I had been doing. I'd been working somewhere, as you said, for a long time. I know every corner of every set. I know all the wardrobe. I know all the actors I'm working with. I know the hours. I know what to expect. I know how long the season's going to run. I know the audience. This is the opposite. You don't get 20 takes, you get one. You're live in front of a very critical crowd in your favorite city in the world, and you have to get it right. And I just needed to be shaken up. I wanted to challenge myself. Your comfort zone will kill you, is an adage I've heard and can relate to. And I wanted to certainly get out of a comfort zone and just challenge myself, see what else I had in the tank. I started acting later than probably many. I was almost 30. And so I wanted to just be, being on a show 10 months a year for over a decade, you watch a lot of other people build out a career, try things, experiment, play, fall on their face, get back up. And in the classroom, looking out the window at kids playing recess, I certainly can admit to some envy and some eagerness to get out there and play and make some of my own mistakes, which this very well could have been one of them. So I just wanted to just jump. I really just wanted to do something that didn't involve fear and let me really test what I've got, what do you really belong here? Because I don't have to keep acting. It wasn't a childhood dream. There's other interests that I have. I want to see if I what it really feels like to be totally vulnerable, And in some ways, I think this level of commitment and performance is a form of kind of, certainly a vulnerability, and kind of, you know, you're bare, you're nude in some ways. And so add the added burden or challenge of actually literally being nude in this one too. So
being nude. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Take Me Out is a big play that touches on a lot of things, like so many sort of themes and ideas. What is the play about for you? What's really the core of what the show is about for you?
For me, the play is really about heteronormative relationships, masculinity. What is it? What isn't it? What does it require? Kind of male intimacy. What is it to know somebody? What is it to be, to have a friendship? You know, are you defined by what you do or what you're not? I think it examines how much homophobia is woven into what we consider macho or masculine from my generation and behind me, not necessarily future ones. And so for me, it was, it has really been about sticking your neck out and trying to redefine and reform and shape what our relationships can be, and what it is to know someone. I think that there is also a really interesting, play. Obviously, you have my character comes out as homosexual. The character is also black, is also biracial, and there's an interesting racial underpinning to the story for me that deals with kind of a white man who is, despite repeated offenses, despite repeatedly violating and abusing people, he gets chance and chance again, and a backstory and a childhood explanation and a letter written to explain away his behavior and support, and shows up and totally disrupts my team and which is my home, which is my family, which are really my only really real relationships that I've carried to repeated championships. All that happens, and just like that, you know, my character is witnessing himself being cast aside for this guy who keeps getting attempt after attempt, and my only offense really is just saying the words I'm gay. So what that does is that has the character of Darren really, he tries to keep leaning on these structures that he's always leaned on, these individuals, these men in his life, but they're all wobbly now, or if they're present at all, or they're working, you know, multiple sides of the coin and being a little bit duplicitous in their behavior against him. And so it just, that examination of, you know, what real kind of, like I said, heteronormative male relationships consist of, is something that's really fascinating to listen to the audience watch play out, to kind of hear, you know, can't really see them, but I can hearing them put the pieces together as the second act unfolds. Is a really fascinating experience, and also just you know, it's a play that it's a lot about arrogance, and people can't really know what they don't experience, and my character certainly gets a sledgehammer to the chest, demonstrating that we can cast it off as being kind of, you know, arrogant or have big headed. But people really struggle to, you know, everything is either imaginary or it's real. Either I've experienced it and I've felt it, or I've just heard about it. And Darren Lemming has only heard about obstacles or the word no or an uphill battle, and so he doesn't really believe in it. It's kind of like the boogeyman for him until it gets shoveled right down his throat. So those are some of the themes that I have found really interesting. And also I would say, Gordon, it's so densely written. The language is so incredible. There are really interesting parallels in characters that almost that say some of the same things, do some of the same things, live their life by similar principles, but they play different roles. The way they're introduced, who they're aligned with, makes one a villain, one a hero, one noble and one a coward. And they have a lot of the same properties, qualities, and use some of the same language. So Richard Greenberg is really testing us as an audience to realize the role that we play in our interpretation of other people's lives.
You played baseball, right, Jesse?
I did, yes, as a young person.
And is there any overlap for you between baseball and theater?
Yes, actually. And I would also say that the fact that I played baseball, my relationship to baseball was a not so insignificant road into doing this play, choosing to say yes to it. Baseball was a huge part of my upbringing and my connection with my father. It was something that he cared greatly about and used to teach me countless lessons. You know, he used everything around baseball as an analogy for something else. And, you know, so I really, in part, got excited to do this and chose to do this in some ways as an honor, to honor that relationship and rekindle those feelings. And I would say baseball is similar to theater in the sense that it is both an individual sport and a team sport, right? It is, we do all, you know, in both cases, it is a team collaborative effort. It doesn't work without the team. However, there are moments of isolation where it's entirely on you. It is entirely on you. And you have to be prepared. It's not just natural talent alone won't get you there. There are many ways that you could fall flat, that you can make a mistake, that you can have to miss a game or miss a week, that you can injure yourself or others. And that the level of camaraderie, you know, you can go it alone, but it's far more successful, sustainable, and enjoyable when there is a level of, you know, cohesion and joy in it, in the work. And fear can get you killed. Fear can get you hurt pretty badly in both cases. I think that all of my experience with baseball, it is really a nostalgic experience doing this play, being out there, being in uniform and being out on the field. You know, we took the team, Scott, our director, took us all to Yankee Stadium one day. During the day, it was closed, it was empty, which made it all the more kind of spiritual. And being out on the field, it brought back a lot of feelings. And it is in some ways a church and a place for reflection. And I was really grateful that I didn't have to imagine that I could relate to being out there for, you know, year round for the better part of my childhood. So yeah, there's certainly a few parallels.
Yeah. Congratulations on your Tony Award nomination.
Thank you.
What has been your experience so far of the Tony season swirl? It's a whole thing that you have to do in addition to your shows, right? Like you've got some events and some press and some galas. It's a whole thing. Exactly. What's that been like for you?
It's been awesome. It's really, you know, going back to what I was saying before about feeling welcomed and feeling like I'm amongst peers and it's okay that I'm here. It's just really been an extension of that, you know, getting recognized for your work while you're doing it. It's very different than, you know, doing a film that maybe doesn't come out for 2 years, 18 months after you made it and it's done. You said those lines, you'll never say those lines again. People see it at all different times in their life and times of day and at different you know, on different size screens and everything. So it's all disjointed, but you know, recognition is lovely. It's thank you so much. You saw the movie. That's great. Cool. Thank you very much. But having somebody there with you in the space live when it happened that Tuesday night, and this is, you know, a different group of of people, artists, creatives that are seeing me act for the first time. You know, Grey's Anatomy is, you know, one of the biggest shows in the world, but it has its demographics that it serves. And that's not always the most cutting edge filmmakers and directors and actors of our day or producers, et cetera. So this is the first time those folks, who I also, you know, look up to and look forward to working with and admire, are standing before me in person, telling me how it made them feel and what they experienced and what it called up for them. That's new to me. I've never had that experience. And that's really cool and reciprocal in a different way. You know, I just was at the Drama League Awards with Hugh Jackman coming up to me and we're talking about each other's work. And that's very surreal for me. I've been in one pocket for the entirety of my short career. And so this is something very, very new. And to be able to have a venue, you know, we're talking about the nomination, the spaces, you're doing press and doing gatherings and luncheons, to be able to fellowship with people whose work really moved you. And watching them be celebrated and be participating and celebrating them because they've absolutely changed lives. People saw themselves for the first time do something and that made that goal achievable, made them feel like they could write, feel like they could sing, they could act, they could direct because somebody else did it. So it's really... this is a, you know, a real pinch me few weeks and months. And I, it's absolutely a huge shift, in my, I think, consciousness and connection between my work and what it can do in the world and feeling a sense of belonging. You know, that theater and cinema, are ahead of me in a way that makes it a little more tangible, a little more within reach, and exciting. I certainly always believe in myself, but to be in the ring is different than to be in the rafters.
Yeah. You are nominated in the same category as two of your co-stars, Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Michael Oberholzer. What's the mood like backstage?
It's, you know, we're all very, polite and supportive and encouraging and sincere. Those guys are so fucking talented. They're really great. And a huge part of my experience and I'm so proud of them. So yeah, it's a pretty surreal thing. But yeah, we're all, you know, we haven't had any like competitive shots or anything. I'm waiting till, you know, a couple more weeks to sabotage their dressing rooms. But no, we're having a really awesome time and which is not always the case in theater or film. You know, you don't always get to work with the people that you're on a project with, right? I've done movies with other actors. We don't have any scenes together. I luckily have really pivotal scenes with both of those gentlemen. And so it's very, you know, I can say for myself, it's very well earned and I'm very sincerely excited to be able to have the privilege to work with them and watch them. So it's pretty great.
Yeah. Your run in Take Me Out ends June 11th. You've got the Tonys June 12th. What's next for you? And is Broadway something that you're going to do again, do you think?
By the way, I love that timing. That's pretty spectacular. Closing to get right into it. And move on from there. Well, theater is certainly, yeah, this is, I'm part of this community now. I've got the bug. I love it. It is very demanding. I'm not going to go right back into another production, I wouldn't think. But it's now woven into my DNA, so I will be back. And I think I'd be interested in directing as well. I already am interested in directing for screen, but that that could expand also to theater. And then, but professionally, what's next? You know, I'm not sure. We've got a bunch of irons in the fire. We're in development actually on a limited series expansion of the play with Richard Greenberg and Scott Ellis around the Darren character. That's really, you know, developing into something pretty interesting. And I've got a couple films coming out. So we'll see, but I really, you know, for this is the first time in my career, really, Gordon, where I don't know I don't know where I'm going to be next month or in the next 3 months. I don't know. And that's a pretty cool thing too. I'm going to take my kids on vacation and you know, do some sailing and be outside with them and just see how I feel in a few months, which is, it warms my heart to know that that's what's ahead.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to seeing what's next from you and what gets you on stage next. Thanks so much, Jesse. Thanks for joining
me. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
That was the Tony-nominated actor Jesse Williams, now appearing in Take Me Out on Broadway at the Helen Hayes Theater. If you like what you're hearing on this and other episodes of Stagecraft, I'd really appreciate it if you took the time to rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps us grow our audience of folks who love theater as much as you and I do. Or tell a friend about Stagecraft, or give us a shout out on social media. Find past episodes or subscribe on all the pod places, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on the Broadway Podcast Network, which is a great place to find more theater for your ears. Until next episode, find me on Twitter at @gcoxvariety. Thanks for listening, and see you at the theater.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.